been talking for a few weeks about them. Today I'm going to finish them. And since it's been a while since I read this scripture, I'm going to read the whole entire scripture to you, but I'm only taking a couple bites out of it, you know. If you're just joining us, the children are having a movie today. That's the reason why they were out of here early. They had a movie today, and we don't have class for the teens on the fifth Sunday. Months that have five Sundays, so. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 1 through verse 10, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. This is actually Paul talking about himself. God knoweth. For such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now, let me just say something about this. How many of you have ever heard people say that they've had out-of-body experiences? And I'm not talking about this astro projection and all this cultic stuff. I'm talking about you've had preachers say that they felt like the Lord has taken them out of the body, and they went and seen places, and the same incidences, you know, people have said they've been taken out of the body, and they've went and they've talked to Jesus, and they've went on in this. This is actually what Paul is talking about here. So that event is in the Bible, you know. So people say, well, that can't happen. Well, maybe it can. It's in the Bible. Paul said it was so real he couldn't tell whether he had his body or not. It was so real to him. That's what he's talking about. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, and that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You know, and Paul actually had an abundance of revelations. Paul is the first one to talk about the church. Paul is the first one to talk about the third heaven or paradise. Paul is the first one to talk about the rapture. 1 Thessalonians, the first time we see this stuff. He's the first one to explain great revelations. And he said, God had given me these great revelations so that I don't get too proud of myself. I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. The word buffet means what? Okay? To be punched with the fist is what the word buffet means. Okay? To be punched with a fist. So, just so you know that. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that's three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, this is my text for today. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me read that last verse again, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. You guys know what infirmities is? It's sicknesses. In reproaches. You know what that is? Okay? People coming in your face. in necessities. That's not having enough, being in lack, in persecutions. That's where someone is just bona fide, hates your guts, and is doing everything they can to hurt you. In distresses for Christ's sake. In other words, that's when the Holy Spirit tells me to witness to this person who doesn't like me, and I have to do it anyway. Okay? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, what a principle. Now, we have talked about, in the last few weeks, these different thorns. And we've talked about the blessings that have come from the different thorns, you know. In the first message, I talked about the pain of the thorns. The pain of the thorns. And we discussed the reason for the pain of the thorns. In the second message, I talked about the purpose of the thorns, that God had a specific purpose for inflicting us. We talked about how everything we face in life is not always a result of the devil coming after us. I know we want to blame everything on him, but he is not the fault of every single problem that we have. You know, just because we have a lack in our life, that does not necessarily mean that lack has come because the devil has come into our life and is doing everything he can to hurt us. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, I know we want to blame everything on him, but fact is, most everything is not his fault. I preached a message one time years ago. I've never preached it here. It's not the devil stupid, it's you. That was the title of it. That pretty much explains the whole message, you know. And I had so many people come against me for calling people stupid, okay. Folks, there are stupid people out there. I hope none of you are there, but there are stupid people out there, okay. Come on, man. You see them on TV. I almost cracked up at a video. They called them the stupidest criminals alive. Okay? These two guys take a brick. They go to a bank. They go to a bank and they throw the brick at the door of the bank. Well, it's unbreakable glass. There's a camera on the front door. They have no masks on. They have no hoodies, you know. The brick bounces off the door, hits the guy who throwed it right in the forehead. Knocks him cold. Now, I would think, I gotta get my buddy out of here, you know. No, he picks the brick up, throws it again. It hits him in the forehead. Knocks him on top of his buddy. When the cops get there, these two guys are laying on top of each other. Out! Folks, that's stupid. Okay? A guy is walking back and forth in front of a jewelry store. He's casing the jewelry store. The video shows him walking back and forth in front of a jewelry store. It's in like a plaza, okay? And he's up and down the sidewalk. He's like, I'm getting my courage up, man. I'm going to rob this place like you would not believe, you know? It's a jewelry store, you know? So you see him, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a hood, okay? And he sticks the hood on right in front of the door of the jewelry store. There's two doors there, okay? He sticks the hood on in front of the jewelry store. And he can't hardly see because the eyes are twisted, so he's squiggling the eyes as he's going toward the door. He grabs the door, he runs in, he pulls the gun out, and he says, "This is a robbery." And he don't even have the hood adjusted right yet, okay? It just so happened there's two doors there. One was to a jewelry store, the other one was to a gun store. He went in the gun store, 12 people pulled guns out. They were shopping and dropped him right there in the floor. I mean, dead. They hit him. I mean, I can't. All of them emptied their guns. The video shows this guy going like this, you know, and hits the deck. You look at his mask, ain't even on straight yet. It's still sideways a little bit. He had these two little beady holes, you know. Stupid, okay? There are stupid people out there, so I'm not preaching that message today, though. I'm preaching on the prize of the thorns. The prize of the thorns, right? There is a prize. Paul said, I want to give you the closing thoughts to the passage that I'm talking about that is just horrendous. He tells us that the thorns and the buffetings that we face in this life are not in vain. There is a benefit to be derived from pain. Especially pain that we have to endure in this life. Of course, Paul says it's for Christ's sake, you know. The things he endured were not a result of the foolish decisions of the past. If you choose to do any of those stupid things that I just mentioned, go into jewelry stores and try to rob them or whatever, that's on you. And if you suffer pain for it, that's on you. Don't you go blaming God or praying for Him to get you out of it. Because let me tell you something right now. Let me just tell you right now. He ain't getting you out of it. He is just. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know we want God to be different than us. We don't want Him to be just. You know, we want God to grade on the curve. You know what I'm saying? We want Him to grade on the curve. Did you guys ever have math curves in school? You always hated that one kid, didn't you? Yeah, the curb breaker. Yeah. Somebody's pointing at Colleen, okay? Those kids drove me nuts. I had this great curve going, you know. I could miss several of them. But no. Can't have that. Can't have that. Got a curb breaker. We want God to grade on the curb. God don't grade on the curb. Oh, hallelujah. He's black and white. So if we endure things because of making foolish decisions, then that's our fault. That's on us. And I've done a lot of them too, folks. Trust me. Paul was suffering for Jesus. I want to ask you the question, how much of what you suffer for is because of foolish decisions that you made? Foolish choices that you made? And you're just begging and pleading for God to get you out of it. And let me tell you right now, in my experience, very rarely does He get us completely out of things. Now, it doesn't minimize the pain that we need to go through, but it does, you know, change our walk. We have to understand that God is trying to change us from the inside out. See, folks, you're in heaven practice right now, you know. Do you know at the rapture you shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, you know? But whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's why I preach about God's reward system. A lot of pastors don't agree with that. They don't agree with the reward system. I see God all through the Bible using a reward system. I mean, I see it. The children of Israel had a reward system. You do this, you'll go into Canaan, you know, that's your reward. You'll get houses you didn't build. You'll get lands you didn't plant. You'll get crops to harvest you didn't plant. God always used a reward system all through the Bible. And so I don't see why, if you got to worry about somebody taking away your crown, because He makes that warning. He says, let no man take your crown. If you have to worry about somebody taking your crown, that means there's a reward on the other side. Now, we want it all monetary, you know, because that's the way we think. And God don't think that way. You know, we spend thousands of dollars for these little things to wear around our fingers that have nothing but ground up coal in them. You know, that is. Ground up pressurized coal. God uses this stuff for pavement. Wouldn't you like to pull in there with your truck, Floyd, and say, hey, load me up with a truckload of gold, would you? I'm going to go pour it in my driveway. He uses this stuff for pavement. I mean, that's how the monetary system of the Lord is, you know. But folks, I'm going to tell you, I know there's a pain, and I don't want to minimize the pain we go through even through making stupid decisions. I don't want to minimize that. Oh, gosh, I just wish I could just take this out. I wish I could tell you, Ben, your life is not your own. It's not yours, Ron. You know? You guys have given it to God. And you got to do what He wants. And you can't invent things to do. You got to do His will. If you don't do His will, you suffer. Now, and here's another thing, but listen to this. And if you do His will, you suffer. You know, there's this, I hate the modern church today, Eric, because it's got this message out there that there's no suffering in being a Christian. And that's so false. Now, you can find a church that'll tell you that. You can watch Joel on TV every Sunday or whatever he's on, and he'll be smiling at you, telling you you don't have to suffer. You just have to, you have to do this perfect little thing, and everything will work out okay. You know, I was naive like that. I think that's why the Lord made me go through so much crap in the beginning. Because I thought everybody went to church was a Christian. I thought everybody who was in leadership was a leader and a Christian. And I had people coming after me like a dragon that were leaders in the church. All because I wanted to do a play. My God, I wanted to move the altar out of the way so we didn't trip over it. Good Lord. This church fixed that problem. They made one so heavy you can't move. But we had these crazy altars. It was an old Methodist church and had all these. You had to move them out of the way to do dramas, man. That's where I first learned what sacrilege was. That woman had me thinking I was committing sacrilege. I said, oh my God, I don't want to do that. That doesn't even sound like a good word. I don't know what it means, but I don't want to do it. Started researching what sacrilege was, you know, to find out what it was. I found out it was only in the Bible one time. Romans 2:22. 2:22. Means to steal the tithe. That's what sacrilege is. She had me thinking I was moving the altar rail. I was committing sacrilege. I wasn't stealing the tithe. I said, okay. So, you know, I went through stuff for this thing called a call. You know, I did not have people hand me anything. My pastor didn't agree with me. Wouldn't even give me the responsibility at first. He didn't have no confidence in me. His answer was, no way, Jose. Now, I don't want to pick on him because the first time he put a microphone in my hand, I took the microphone, I looked at all the people, and I said, you bunch of stick-neck grayheads. Man, that guy couldn't get that microphone out of my hand fast enough. I seen young people on their knees pleading with God, and these people were sitting back criticizing them, you know. I called them a bunch of stiff-necked grayheads. Oh, my God, Pastor said, I got to get that mic out of that guy's hand, man. There's a prize in the buffetings. Let's look at them here real quick. The prize of power. Paul says that when my infirmities of life have him beneath their weight, then he is stronger than ever. Why? Because the power of God is able to work in his life. His own power is subdued by the sufferings. And then it's dependent on the power, you know? It's like somebody who goes to the doctor and they get this terrible report and the doctor says there ain't nothing more I can do. And then they look around and they say, well, I guess we really ought to pray. Like it's come to that. All we got is prayer now. You know? When probably all we needed to do was pray. Now, it doesn't make sense sometimes. I'll be honest with you. When I'm weakest in the flesh, that means I'm the strongest spiritually. That don't make sense. But boy, is that a truth today. When we're broken by the buffetings of life, we are brought to a place where God can move in us and through us in extraordinary ways. Do you want the power of God to rest on your life? If your answer is yes, then I have to tell you something. Prepare to hurt. Because you don't walk in the power of God without pain. Nobody has. In Exodus 20 and 5, we see Moses suffering the same thing. Before he could be used in a great way, before he could be used by God in the way he was used, he had to first position himself in dependence upon God himself. If you want to have power, you have to pay the price. You have to pay the price to have the power of God rest on your life. Oh, hallelujah. You won't walk down the street and see people healed without paying the price. Without paying the price. I just wish I had time. I don't have time. There's a prize in the praise. Paul said, most gladly, glory, take pleasure. He used these powerful words to indicate that the Lord through grace had taught Paul the secret of rejoicing in the midst of difficulty. And I've said this before, because we're Pentecostals, we don't understand grace. We don't understand grace. That's why I talked for a few weeks about grace. Try to give you some closer explanation of grace. So you can understand what it means to have grace on your life. Grace got you up this morning and got you rolling around and got you here. It was grace that did that. And I'm not talking about the she. I'm talking about the power of God. You see, the power of God is really grace. Now, you have less confidence in yourself than God does. Because, see, God knows the power of grace and you don't. That's why when you make a mistake, you beat yourself up for 6 days. God puts his arm around you and says, what was that? I don't remember. Because you repented. And when you repent, it's cast in the sea of forgetfulness. And God doesn't remember. Now you can go fishing all the time and bring that junk back up in that sea if you want to. Some of us, we do a lot of that self-inflicting. You know? We like to go fishing. Or we let the devil fish. Hey, you need to put a sign on your pond, no trespassing. And stop him from fishing in that place. Because he'll bring it back up and talk to you about it a couple times. You tell him, no, fishing in this pond. Oh, hallelujah. There's a prize, folks. You know, Job learned about the prize. It was a lesson that he had to learn. Same way we do. Neither Paul nor Job enjoyed the things they were facing. But they had learned the truth that God is in control. He knows what he is doing, and he is using the pain for his glory. Paul was seeing beyond the thorn and beyond the buffetings, and seeing the power and the glory that is coming because of what he is facing. That is why he had peace and could praise the Lord in the middle of the buffetings, because he had confidence that God was in control. I had somebody ask me not long ago, they said, this stuff, they said, I can't understand why I'm losing my temper so much, why this is going on, why this is going on, and I don't want to do this, but that's because I just preached about the wilderness, folks. I just talked about the purification of the wilderness. If you heard any of that message at all, you know God is going to go down deep and bring stuff to the surface because he wants to change you. If you're not changing, you're not saved. Because else you repent, you shall perish, and change is repentance. Repentance means change. Okay, I'm going to jump on this wheel. Wish I had a PowerPoint now. I wouldn't be jumping on this wheel. We want comfort. That's what we want. To be comfortable. To have no problems. To go to the bank account, and every time we check it, it says, over full. Or they don't even put a number in your account anymore. They put, you have too much on your slip. Those days might be coming, but you know, that's what we want. We expect that. Oh, I paid my tithes this morning, buddy. When I walk out this door, bag's going to hit me on the head. I'm hoping that bag up. $100 bills. Wow. Benjamins. Right? I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I know that sounds far-fetched, and it is far-fetched. God does crazy things. He does amazing things. Let me tell you right now, don't think he couldn't do that. You know? He does amazing, amazing, amazing things. I read a story not long ago of a Christian person. They bought a house. They were faithful to the call, man. They bought a house and they wanted to extend, make a room bigger. And so they knocked a wall out of the house. And in the wall was a safe completely full of money. Had tens of thousands of dollars in the wall. And didn't even know it was there. God does amazing things. He led that Christian to buy the house. For some reason, that guy got a burr wanting to make a hole there. My wife's brother. I mean, unsaved individual. Goes in, was it Savannah? Savannah, in the nighttime, standing in front of a statue of the winged, what's that thing called? Not a gargoyle. Griffin. Standing in front of a statue of a griffin. At nighttime in a park, just a few of them standing there, and he's looking at this griffin, and all of a sudden he hears something fall right between him and the griffin, and bam, hits the ground in front of him. And he says, what the heck was that? And he reached down, he looked down, and he picked up a Bible. That had never been opened. We went on a cruise together. I asked him, I said, did you open? He said, heck no, I'm scared to death to open that thing. You know, I'm not saying God doesn't do amazing things. That's a factual thing. And this is a sinner telling me about it. So it's not some Christian trying to sensationalize, you know. This is a factual thing. And Jake was there. You guys were there, weren't you, when it happened. So they know this actually happened. He laid a Bible on that guy. Now, does that guy say, no. Not yet. But I know his sister. I know she prays for him all the time. You know? It's the hard ones that God really uses. Let me tell you that right now, folks. It's the hard ones he really uses. We want to live this completely comfortable life. And I'm just going to go like this. I'm going to pop your bubble. You ain't in heaven yet. So you ain't going to get it. You're not going to get it, Cassidy. Not here. You hope most days work out. That's the best as it gets in this life. And every now and then, Autumn, he'll dump this little blessing on you and you'll say, God did that. You know? But there might be 80% that day pain. And what he's trying to do is teach you how to depend on him to get you through that pain. Right, Carol? He's trying to get you through it. Because when you get through the pain, you turn around and you look and you go, wow, that was easy. You got to be like these people that just ride out hurricanes, man. I love them. They're the greatest. We just get some plywood up. Hallelujah. We just ride it out. That's what most of life is like. This torrential wind coming at you. You're always wanting heaven. You know, I tell people all the time, I don't know, maybe you don't think this, but I personally think work sucks. I never had a job I actually really liked. Not even this one. I'm just kind of compelled to do it, you know. I'm not saying I really love it, you know. I just know I have to do it. Same way it was when I was weaving baskets. I knew this was for a season, and I knew I had to do it at that time. And I knew it would end, and it did. So we're really not going to have a great job. It's kind of like a brand new car. It's cool for a month. You know, you go in there and you're sitting down with them finance people and they're blah, 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 they turn this thing around for you to sign. You go, oh, okay, right here on that line, yeah. And then after a month, you get your payment book, $479. They told me my interest rate was 15%. What is this, 19.9? How many pages are in this thing? 72? That's 6 years. Boy, the smell ain't so good no more, is it? It sucks. There's no other way to put it. If we can just see those trials, though, from God's perspective, then the whole outlook we have will be changed. We'll stop seeing our situation as being hard and harsh and difficult, and we'll understand that it's God's perfect plan for our life. When we see He is working out His will in us, we will see He is getting the glory for it. When we learn to yield to Him and learn to yield to His will for our lives, then we'll get in the place where the Lord can work through us like we've never imagined. I'm telling you, I had many occasions where I just wondered, God, is this going to work out? Is this just really going to work out? I hope. And I got to the point sometimes where I just thought, oh, well, who knows? I have learned that if you can do it without God's help, He ain't in it. He ain't in it. You got to have His help. You got to have His help. There is a prize in the sufferings. There is a prize that we get. And you have to understand that. We spend so much time praying for God to get us out of trouble or to keep us out of trouble. How long has it been since we got down before Him and thanked Him for the trouble? How long has it been since we thanked Him for putting you in the place where you had to trust in Him alone? How long has it been since you thanked Him for the grace and for His sufficiency and for His touch on your life? We always want God to get us out or to keep us out of something. How long has it been since we thanked Him for putting us in it? That's the prize. You know, I could spend all kinds of time that I don't have telling you about things that God has taken us in and then taking us out. And we see the prize at the end. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. There is a prize. There is a prize.